It's so glad to be with you. I enjoyed the time, the Sunday school time this morning. What a blessing it is, just reminding every one of you here of some of your fruit, of what you've accomplished through your mission program, through all the missionaries, just to give you a little hint or a little bit of what you have been doing there in Great Britain, Armenia, Romania, and Moldova, to how God is just doing wondrous things. And so I'd like for us to look into a very familiar passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I'd like to share this and some more of the things that God has used you to do. But one of the things I think that we need to realize is it says in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. And so this is one of the things, whenever you have someone that's sharing things about the needs of different people, especially the needs of the gospel, we need to truly listen and see, why does my eye affect my heart? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time together today. We thank you, Lord, for your word that uplifts, encourages, directs us in all of our daily lives, and how that, Lord, you provide so graciously, so wondrously. We thank you, Lord, for each one. We pray for the special needs, especially my sister Heather, that, Lord, you will bless and you will help them each and every one. And that, Lord, you'll bless in the service, Lord, that we might be drawn closer to you moment by moment. We ask you to have your will and your way in each heart and each life today. For we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sometimes it comes out amen, sometimes it comes out amen, but it's the same thing, isn't it? So I'll just read the passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, and this is what I wanted to realize, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What a wonderful thing. The thought that I really liked there is he was moved with compassion. Here is the King of glory, the King of all creation, the Creator of the world, and of each and every one of us. The one has an opportunity, we might say a plan, the one that has created us for all these different events and things that he has for us in our life. And as I said earlier, that our joy might be full, their course would be completed according to what God has for us. So how wonderful it is as we look into God's word, and you say, well, compassion, it says there's compassion. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon the peoples as he would go through the towns and the villages, and he would go there and he'd present him. What was it he saw? He saw people with very little hope, if any hope. And you know, throughout our country, the United States, there's lots of people that are without hope. There are people that are just wandering through life. You know, one of our most valuable things in this life is time. Today is today. We'll never recall today tomorrow, because it'll be tomorrow. So we need to realize, I need to take this day and accomplish those things for which God has given me the abilities. And he's given everyone abilities. You said, you don't know that. Well, in Jeremiah 1:5, he knew us before we were born. And there with Jeremiah, he said, you will be a prophet to the nations. And of course, he equipped him to be able to do that. He equips all of us of whatever age it is. Say, well, yes, but I'm retired. Hey, there's no such thing as retiring. And when we begin to realize, no, as long as you have breath in your body, you're a usable instrument in the hands of God. We need to keep that before us. Oh, but I'm tired. I've done my thing. No, you haven't done your thing. You've got greater things ahead of you day by day. And that's the thing that we need to look to and realize, because, we've got towns and villages. We don't call them villages much here, but and cities all around us, people living everywhere. And there are people there that are hurting. And this is what the Lord saw. He was going through them. He knew their hurt. How did he know their hurt? He knew it because his heart, he saw the people's lives. He saw what was happening all around. So you might say he was challenged, but he knew them. And so he went all about presenting salvation, presenting there is a God in heaven that loves you, that came to save you. He came to pay your sin debt. He came to make you fit for heaven. And I says, and we need to realize these wondrous truths he has. And God and the Lord coming, and he never asks us to do more than he did. And so we said, oh, well, he did a whole lot, didn't he? He said, yes. He went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues. The synagogues was the meeting place, like we could say in our building here. It was a meeting place for the gospel, or for the word of God to be broken forth. And preaching the gospel, the news of salvation and of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among people. And you know, sometimes we see people who have sicknesses, they've got problems, health difficulties and all, and we say, oh, I wish I could help them. What can I do to help them? Can I get you something? Can I help in any way? We all have that desire, don't we? Like I said, my sister, she's fallen, and so we were able to, through Brian, able to go and get a wheelchair to help her. We want to, because we feel sorrowful, but it's more than sorrowful. What we see, it affects our heart. And that's what compassion, when we think of compassion, I think there's a there's a definition in here how that it compassion is making a difference. And compassion is our eyes see the needs, and it's upon our heart. And this is the thing too. So what is it we look at around us? Now, we have neighbors sometimes have difficult times. Are we willing to look and see how can I be useful to my neighbor? He says, I don't really know. You say, well, some of them, they know the Lord. So what can they? Hey, just go and talk with them a little bit. You know, their problems, when you hear them, they're halved, aren't they? Their difficulties. You say, but their health is not. No, but you can encourage them in their health, the difficulties. Many of you have been praying for me, my back. I've had some major surgeries this year. And I'm up walking, getting around. God watches over, but it's thankful for your prayers that God gives us the doctors, the nurses, each and all the therapists to help us. And so we can have that, our heart go out to them and help to ease their burdens too. When I first went to England, why would you go to England? I was born in England, as I've told many of you. I went to England, though, it was some time after, because I left England when I was 10. And I go back, and I'm 27 years old. And I go back, why? Because I like motorcycles. I race motorcycles. I enjoy them. I actually still have some old ones. One I ride around Lookout Valley is a 1969 Bull Taco Matrella. It's a classic. Well, I like them because they still have a little value, although I only paid $386 for them in 1970. So the thing is, I can ride around the valley visiting the older people, the shut-ins, and we just go and talk. Pastors go, they go visit them, but pastors' times are a little more limited. Mine's not quite so limited. So we go and talk about their family. We talk about the Lord. We want to be a blessing and encouragement. And because our eyes see, you know, they have some sad days. They had some days they cannot get out and about. Well, that's not hard to do. No, most all of us can do that, can't we? But I went to see motorcycle race, United States against Great Britain. And it was exciting. You know, but the thing is, I was in the villages and that I was grew up as a little boy, and I could see it was like darkness. It's like you went back to black and white days. There's very little hope, very little pleasure in their eyes. Their eyes were dulled, it seemed like. I said, oh, this is so sad. Went to the old Church of England, gone to in the village there, and it happened to be Mr. Easter, who had actually been the caretaker when I was a little boy. He was around there. He says, oh, he says, well, Glenn, he says, we do have a service here on Christmas and Easter if there's a need. I said, here's a huge stone building, stained glass windows, just sitting there as a memorial to the past. And sometimes we say, well, that's the way it was. Well, hey, it doesn't have to be that's the way it was. It's the way it should be. We should be open to giving forth the Word of God as it touches our hearts too. And so I prayed, okay, Lord, wake up the ideas of these English people. Wake them up so they could tell the children all the things of the Bible. They could tell them the events and all the happenings in the Bible. Wake up, tell them. And so I didn't pray for it all the time. Came back, but it was on my heart. And so occasionally I'd pray, well, Lord, wake up. And the Lord, all of a sudden, he revealed something to me. Well, you're an Englishman too. You have dual nationality. I said, yeah, but other people go and do that. I don't do things like that. I can't do that. But then how God prepares, and he works through it. And it's like I said earlier, he gave me a wife that knows all the answers. Isn't it wonderful when we have a wife that knows all the answers? And so I said, how wonderful. Charlotte sitting there in the back, she is such a blessing. She's such a help. Wherever we go, people just fall in love with her. And she, I mean, we're in Armenia, and she doesn't know any Armenian, a few words, and all that. And they'll be out there helping with some of the ladies. They'll be washing dishes after having a meal at the meeting. And then Charlotte will just kind of nudge them over. Say, you know, she wants to walk. No, no, Miss Charlotte. No, Miss Charlotte. And so she'll nudge them. And then they're all laughing and enjoying each other. I said, isn't it wonderful when you can go and see? We say, but that's a little thing. Those things mount up. And that's a part of who we're identified as. We're identified as children of the King. We're identified as those that want to serve, who have a heart for those all around us. And I think, what a blessing that is. And so I thank you, Lord, so much for this and the compassion that you give us to go forth. Because they fainted when the Lord Jesus Christ, the people, or fainted, and that's they were despondent. It was just no hope. They were just filling in time in their lives. And sad to say, we see people like that today. Why would we do that? Yeah, but Glenn, if you were as old as me, and you know, I'm up there with probably some of the senior citizens that are here today, and I'm enjoying every day. Yes, I got on that old Machala a couple. Well, it was actually 2 weeks ago now, and I rode around the valley a little bit too. I said, I want to make sure it still runs. I want to make sure. And I go and I can visit our son and his family and go around and visit the Keels and the Langleys. I says, isn't it wonderful? I'm just enjoying every day. I like an exciting life. When I went, I thought, oh, people get up, they go to work, they work, then they go home, and they're tired, and they sit down. And all. I said, I don't want my life to be like that. That's kind of like a coffin, really, isn't it? And so I said, just break those ends out. Let's get out and do something. I enjoy it. Now, I can't have any more BLTs, though. That's no bending, no lifting, and no twisting, because they've solidified my back. I said, well, hey, I'm standing upright. I can do lots of things. I can still ride, and I have to kickstart mine. There's no push button to make them start. But I think how wonderful God is in allowing us to serve him. And to see people like this is, oh, my heart goes out to them. My heart goes out so much to them. 2 years ago, we were in Nuneaton in England, a church filling in for a missionary there. He was on furlough. And Chinese people there, half the congregation were from China. They'd only been there a couple of months. So their English is not very good at all. And my Chinese is zero. But the thing is, there was one lady there, Zoe. I don't know how they would pronounce pronounce their name in Chinese, but Zoe, that I can do that. So Zoe, and she would sit in the center of the service there, and she would sit there, and she was just, it's like she was trying to just draw everything out of me. And I thought, she might understand a quarter to a half of what I'm saying, but she, and after the service, she says, "Who Jesus? Who Jesus?" Her husband, she'd come before her husband came to settle in England, and she said, he said, "Find out about this Jesus." And so she said, "Who Jesus?" And so I said, "Oh, and I want so much, but I can't. I don't know anything of Chinese. I wouldn't know how to pronounce the words or anything. I wanted to know so much." There's a lady there from one of the countries right by China, and she knows China. And her name is Grace. Isn't it wonderful? Her name is Grace. I said, "Oh," and she knows Chinese and English. And so after the service, we had a little light meal. And Grace comes, they call you pastor when you say, "Pastor, I tell Zoe what you say." She's telling what I'm saying. She says, "Oh," I said, "Thank you, Grace." And I thought, man, this name fits this lady really good. And then the thing is, then Grace had some problems. Her father in, why can't I think of the name? It'll be in the Orient, I'll just say. He was in hospital, he was internal bleeding, they couldn't stop it. She says, "I'm going to pray for my father does not know Jesus." And so they sent him to another hospital. I know these places so well, but I can't think of. And she said, "So what does Grace do?" She gets an English, Chinese Bible, gets on an airplane in London, flies all the way over into the Orient, and she could tell her dad. And her dad, she said, "We didn't hear anything for about a month." And then she came back. I said, "Grace, what about your father?" "Oh, he lazy." I thought, "What?" "Oh, he lazy." I said, "What do you mean, Grace, he's lazy?" She says, "Oh," he says, "I give him the Bible. He starts reading," of course, he's starting Genesis. He started reading this, and then he put the Bible down. He started listening to it on the internet. She said, "He lazy." I said, "Well, Grace," she says, "I know, but he lazy." I said, "Okay." But the wonderful thing is, her heart was moved by members of her family. And as I shared earlier, I've got uncles in England too. And they're going to heaven because they were christened. That's the only reason. They were taught that from infants. And I go through the scriptures and time again and share who was saved and how they believed and all this as much as I can. I said, "Glenn, that's all right for you, but we don't need it. We're all right." And I said, "Oh, no." That's the thing in some of them. We say, but that's a more westernized world, a more up-to-date world. It doesn't matter. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. And that's the wonderful thing. And it's like I was sharing this morning, you all make it possible for people like us and your other missionaries and others that go forth here in the United States or throughout the world. You make it possible to extend your ministry and that people come to know Christ as Savior. And I must say, I've raced motorcycles. I've got broken bones and did all that. And collarbone doesn't connect and all these things. You know, those exciting things that you have. But you know what? Serving the Lord is so much more challenging, exciting. But the greatest thing is when you see a life changed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't save them, but through God's word, he saves them. And he changes their lives. And they're on there. We were there in Spalding Church that the Lord used us to start last year. And we met with some of the senior citizens, let's say. There was about 12 of them there on a Wednesday during the Thursday. I believe it was Thursday morning. And they were gathered there, and they were having time of fellowship. But the fellowship was the tea and biscuits, tea and cookies. And then they all sing some hymns. We had had one of those little music, I call it music box players, but it's got like 1,000 hymns in it. You just push a keyboard and it plays it. And so they were doing that, singing hymns, choosing the hymns, singing them. And then a time of prayer all around the room. They had it set up in a big square, and they were just all praying. I said, and I told the pastor, because the new pastor, he wasn't there at that time. I said, "There is your strength. There is your power. There is the ministry of the Lord in this church. And so he said, well, yes, I guess so, but they're older people. And I thought, they are the ones that are taking care and helping the church to go forward. And you know, this, he said, well, that's a little thing. That's a wonderful thing. We all like the fellowship. It's a simple way. I had made print off, you know, songbooks that were print, where the print was a little bit larger, because sometimes our print gets a little bit small. And so I thought, here they are. And the Lord saw all these things. He had that compassion in his heart. And he says, and as sheep having no shepherd, this was the thing too. They had Pharisees and Sadducees during the Lord Jesus' time, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees were more interested in themselves, interested in how they looked amongst the people rather than the souls of the people. This was the sad part about the thing. And you know, there are so many people throughout the world. In Armenia, the Church of Armenia in England had the Church of England and the Church of Armenia, and they're just wanting to take everything they can from people who are extremely poor. I mean, extremely poor. And I said, how can they do that? We went there and we took Bibles. At one time we had nearly 100,000, and of all, the Church of Armenia wanted them. And so we met with their, not their Pope, they call him the Catholicos, but we met with the second one, forget his title, and he said, could we have 500? And so we said, okay, you can have, but you know what they did? They took and sold them to the people. But it says right in there, not for resale. And, of course, I can't read that, but we had a lady that knew Russian and some Armenian. She says, this says right here. She couldn't read it, but she knew it was there. And so I said, but this is what happened in so many parts of the world. Oh, but they've got this. They're this kind of a country. Doesn't mean a thing. They need the gospel message. When we look at them, their heads are hanging down. There's no real life in their eyes. And you say, they're going to live their whole life like this. Why does someone not tell them? As I was sharing earlier too, there was we give out Bibles. You say, well, those people have a Bible. You know where the Bible is? Like sometime, maybe some of ours, it's in that pretty box. It's up on top of the cupboard so it doesn't get dirty and dusted. It's no use that way. It needs to be used, to be opened. In Jude 22, and some have compassion, making a difference. This is the thing. Do we realize all around us, here in the United States as well as throughout the world, there are people that need the gospel message, and we're able to do it. The wonderful thing about your missionaries is wherever they're starting a church and all, you know what they do? They are serving. They're sending out missionaries. They are actually supporting missionaries through their ministries. So how wondrous it is that God is using it. We have it time and time again in the scriptures. There's a place that really touches my heart when I think about it, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it just touches my heart because I think here are people that don't have anything, but their heart is moved with compassion. For it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, we're looking here, Paul, on his third missionary journey. He's been in Ephesus for 3 years. That's where it says everyone in that area. The province is called Asia. It's modern-day Turkey, but it's just the Turk part that juts out to the end there in the Mediterranean Sea. And here, he's been there. Then he's going to Corinth. He goes down across the Bosphorus there, down the coast of, and he goes to Corinth to reach the people and to remind them that they said that they wanted to be a help as well. So when he goes to Corinth and he's ready to leave because he wants to get back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And so when he got ready to leave, and he goes down to the seaport, but the Jewish people, his own people, are lying in wait to kill him. So he retraces his steps up. He goes up to Berea, and then he goes to Thessalonica, then to Philippi. We know because these were churches, places where he had been able to start churches and had people there, and they were helping to support him. They were living under Roman rule, which was iron rule. They were having to pay tremendous taxes, and they were having to abide by strong, strict rules. And yet, they loved the Lord. You see, their eyes had been opened by the compassion of the Lord, sending Paul and the others with him, Timothy and Titus. And their eyes were open, and they were so blessed. They were so overjoyed in their salvation. Is any one of us like that? Do we begin to realize what life would be without salvation? And so here the Lord gives the message here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. God has bestowed this grace upon them. How that in a great trial of affliction, this is describing where and what's going on, with a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. What were they willing to do? Praying with us much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see, in Acts chapter 11, it talks there was a great dearth, there was a great famine there in Israel, especially among the believers. And they've heard this, and they said, okay, we don't have anything, so we're going to give ourselves. And you know, when we give ourselves to the Lord, it's like saying, okay, Lord, I recognize you made me. You've designed me, and you've given me all these abilities. And I've given myself to you. My heart goes out to the needs. My heart goes out to them. They have needs. So I'm giving myself to you first. And then I'm giving that really I don't have to give. I'm giving it because of the great need. You see, that because of the compassion, their hearts, their lives, I mean, their eyes, you might say, actually, their understanding had been that they had moved their hearts, that they too wanted to be a part of this. And just like I said, you all, you're giving to missions, you're giving to other ministries here in the local area, you're doing things here in the States, but you are a big part of that, the giving. Without that, they can't go. They're limited in what they can do. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Inasmuch that we desired Titus that he, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance, which is in speech, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And it's like, do we want to abound in this grace? The mission churches, they're giving to missions. They're sending out some of their young people. As I said this morning, we had two of our young fellows going into missions. They're missionaries today in Moldova, Romania. And so I think, isn't it wonderful we begin to see this? And they're giving too. The people are giving. And they're not wealthy people. They're giving because God has given them that compassion to see, oh, there's such an opportunity for me to be able to help. Such an opportunity, just as he does for each and every one of us. I was thinking, when I was saying this here, of I was in Armenia 4 years ago, and Michael asked me, he said, Glenn, I want you to speak for me while you're here. I said, oh, was it 2 weeks? I said, okay, I'll speak. So I thought it was one or two services. Well, nine times I've spoken to them. And I have to do it all through a translator, so which kind of ties your hands or your lips a little bit. But anyway, a man was invited by his neighbor who'd never been to church. Now, the people in some of these countries, they look old because of the conditions they live in. This probably man was probably about 50 years old. I don't think that's old myself. And so he came. He sat in the front row. And here I'm speaking. And I remember something happened to me in England. I was in Market Harbor. And we're getting ready, just trying to help start the church, the ministry there. And there were singing. Some were speaking. Not me. I'm with the young people. There's a bunch of teenagers, probably 15 of them there. And so I go and I says, hey, fellas, what are you learning in religious education, which is a class they have there? And I already knew that they were doing Buddhism. But so I says, if something were to happen to you fellas, where would you go? Oh, to heaven. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I says, hey, so we'll spend eternity in heaven. They says, oh, that's right. I says, tell me something though, fellas. Have you ever done anything wrong, bad? Oh, you ask that one. They'll outdo themselves of how bad they've done and act and all this. And they tell me all this. Yeah, I've done this. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. They're just doing. I said, you know all those things. That's not right, is it? No. I said, in the Bible, it calls it sin. So you've sinned. You've got sin in your lives. Well, yes, I guess we do. They all kind of gather around then because they were on skateboards and all these things. And so they come around. I said, well, you know, if you were to die and you were to take the sin to heaven, it'd no longer be heaven, would it? I don't guess it would. I said, so you say you're going to heaven, but if you've got this sin and you take it and you spoil heaven, no longer be heaven. So I said, really, as you're telling me, you can't go to heaven. Mister, I said, well, you just said it, that you've got sin and sin would spoil heaven. I said, so you can't go to heaven. But mister, surely we can. I said, no, it's impossible. I said, it's impossible for you to go to heaven. I'm hoping some of them have remembered some of the lesson they had in Christianity. And so one tall young lad, he says, there was something about this Jesus. Oh, yes, yes. Do you know who Jesus was? Well, we studied it, but no, I don't know anything. I said, do you realize? And one said, something about a cross. I said, yes. I said, you see, Jesus loves each and every one of you. He wants you in heaven, but you've got sin and you can't go. So what can he do? I said, you know what? He took all of your sins. As you trust him, as you believe in him, he took all of your sins, placed it upon himself. Then he went to the cross. And he died to pay for all those sins, to take them to never, ever be remembered. All of your sins. Well, mister, what can we do? I said, you can't do anything. I says, he has done that. But what can we do? I says, you believe. It's not just what I said in your head. I said, you believe. The only way that I can possibly go to heaven is to have my sins paid for. And I said, if you believe that he paid for your sins, I said, your whole life, you paid for your sins, if you believe it, truly believe it, not just by hearing it, just by believing in your heart, then you can go to heaven. So they said, well, what do we need to do? I said, you can do it right now. I says, and so I knew they weren't going to do it right then. So I said, get a loan. If you have a bedroom or a place in your house or home, if you have a place, get a loan there yourself with God. And just tell him, say, I've sinned. And God, I know I can't go to heaven. I'm believing that Jesus Christ went and paid for my sins. He died on the cross to be paid for, that I might be fit for heaven. And so then I don't see them anymore because we're like 60 miles away from where we were. But a month later, I'm in another town that's only 10 miles from there called Corby. And so I'm in Corby. They have we call it a precinct area where the cars can't go, but, you know, it's big walkways and things. So I'm short an hour out there, and here these two young lads come up to me. And I said, mister, you remember us? I said, remind me, because I couldn't remember. I said, remind me. And they said, you know, we were in Market Harbor, and you told us how that we could have our sins forgiven. I said, so what? Well, mister, we went home, and we got by ourselves with the Lord, and we asked him to forgive us and to come into our life and save us. I said, that's wonderful. That's so wonderful. I said, you need to be in a good church. There's one on Beanfield. I knew us. Mission Church on Beanfield Avenue. And so he said, I said, oh, but you know, I shared this in the church there in Armenia. And that man sitting right in the front row was in tears. I mean, he was just streaming in tears and all. And so I asked Michael and him, I said, well, what happened? Oh, he got saved. I said, well, Michael, I said, Mike, did you give him some information, the Bible? Yes, Glenn, we took care of all. I said, well, I just want to know. But, you know, it's because of the compassion of the Lord that we begin to see as we become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, as we desire to, we begin to see how he did things, and it encourages us. I want to be a part of that. Well, how can I pray? They prayed and they gave themselves to the Lord, didn't you, there in 2 Corinthians. And so we begin to realize that's what God, let your compassion move you to doing something that you can do. You say, but I'm limited. You might be limited in some things, but you're not limited in everything. I'm not limited in everything. We need to just say, okay, Lord Jesus, use me as you possibly can. And, you know, we have the missions conference, and we have this, and we're trying to raise some funds to send missionaries, and we want some more missionaries to go. And me, I want people out of my church to go. We're not seeing a whole lot of it today because it's too difficult. You have to do all this. I said, no. God does the way. He prepares the way. Do you want an exciting, challenging, rewarding life? Do you want to finish your life with joy? Do what God says for it. Whatever. It may not be missions. It may be. But do it with your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that actually accomplishes things in our lives no matter what. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for this time together this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious word that stirs our hearts. And I pray, Lord, you'll continue to use us, each and every one, for your glory. We pray, Father, for the mission program, Father, here at the church. We pray, Father, for pastor. We pray, Father, for each one, the Sunday school teachers. We pray for those that are helping in the decorating and all this, the singing. Father, that you would continue to bless, put your blessings, your grace upon the ministers here. We ask you to accomplish your great and wonderful will. Father, if there be someone here today that says, well, I don't know if I can go to heaven, if I am fit to go to heaven. And Lord Jesus, you are the only one, the only way that a person can know that they have their sins forgiven, a home in heaven to look forward to through your precious shed blood there on the cross of Calvary. We ask you to bless now and have your will and way. But we do thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.